World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, man, I got so much today. So I got... we're in the crucible. I've been saying that a while, haven't I? We're in the crucible. Spitzer, pull that up again real quickly. I didn't yet to look it up in Webster. Crucible. What is a crucible? It's a hollow place at the bottom of a chemical furnace. It's a place where a melting pot. It's a melting pot. Something's going on. Something really, really deep is going on. And those of you who listen regularly here know that I'm not a big end time theologist. Whatever that means, end time theology. I don't. The Bible tells us this. There's thanks, Spencer. Crucible. This is a severe searching test or trial. That's what a crucible is. We're in the crucible. And Here's kind of the dilemma. Stay with me, okay? Don't get mad yet. You can get mad later if you want to. we're having a crash of theologies right now in front of us. Really, what's going on? And what I mean by that, as y'all, if you listen here regularly, you know there's 42,000 different denominations and denominations of denominations, and we all know that. And for those people who say the Bible says that I believe it and that settles it, that's a lie. That's just not true. Because you can take a scripture out of context and you can make the Bible say a lot of things that maybe it doesn't really say if you take it out of context, right? And so what we're seeing going on, in my not so humble opinion, is there's a real we're at a crucible in that we're going to know here soon. We're going to know here soon. Say, what do you mean, Coach? We're going to know the importance of Israel. We're going to know it here soon. We are. We're going to know. We're going to know the... whether or not America is a fallen empire. We're going to know that here soon. We're going to know here soon whether Jesus is coming soon. We're going to know that. That's what I talk about when I say we're in the crucible. And we can all sit around and argue and talk about the rapture. And we talk about Israel. We can talk about the Jews. And we can talk about all that kind of stuff. And really the truth of the matter is, somebody get ready, give me a thumbs up. It is all speculation. It's all speculation. Because why? Good men disagree on theology. They're good men. They disagree on theology. And that's why I say we're in the crucible. We're in a position right now. Is there going to be a consequence, or I don't want to say this. Remember, I was raised Catholic, so I don't have many eschatological upbringing. I'm just kind of grabbing as I go here, right? Jesus returning. Is it really a rapture? Is he going to rescue his people out here? You do know this, don't you? Not all faiths believe that. Not all faiths believe in the rapture, end time theology, huh? Eastern sky splitting. We don't all believe that, folks. That's why I say we're at the crucible. But the reality of it is, you believe it, and I believe it. What you believe. And as I often say here at Coach Dave Live, who told you that, and why do you believe it? Who told you that, and why do you believe it, right? So I try to fine line here because I'm not a theologian, but I have a PhD. I can think. I can read. I have the Holy Spirit. I can analyze what's going on. And here's what I want all of you to know before we go any further today. There isn't anything you can do about the rapture. Stop talking about it. If it's coming, you ain't going to stop it. And if it ain't coming, you ain't going to make it happen. We're in a crucible. And so what we have to do, what we're going to have to do here in Christian theology is we're going to have to decide whether or not we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Are we or not? Or are we just sitting around waiting for the end of days? And you look at all the prophecy conferences that are going on, and enough, some of them are enough to make me gag. And what are all the prophecy studies on? The end of days. It's about right here. It's at the door. And meanwhile, they're aborting babies. They're mutilating children. Men are turning their bodies into women. Women are turning their bodies into men. Churches are accepting it into the church. Nobody knows what the hell to do. Communism's at the... Is anybody with me out there? I'm going to stop, man. Somebody give me an amen. I need reinforcement here today. Huh? Come on. Somebody else. Come on.
Amen.
Yep. Yeah, coach. Okay. Yeah, coach. You're all over. And so we sit around and we say, well, it's the end of days. It's got to be the end of days. It's just what the Bible says. Except there's 42,000 different denominations who don't necessarily believe the same thing. And by the way, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Now, that didn't mean soon. Anybody ever play any sports out there? Anybody ever play against somebody who was quick? Basketball player was quick with his hands. A football player was quick with his feet. Quick, insinuates speed, boom, quick. Behold, I come quickly, right? And there ain't anything you can do about it. So I don't know about you. I sit here today on the 13th day. By the way, the eclipse and all that stuff went on last night, and I'm not making light of it, Craig, but we're all still here. But it might be a sign of stuff's coming on. And Jesus said to us, why can't you read the signs of the time? When was that written, I guess? When was he telling those people? Help me out, Randy. When was he telling those people to, why can't you read the signs of the time? That wasn't yesterday, was it? That wasn't last week. Jesus was here, 2025 years ago that Jesus was here, and he said to us then, 2025 years ago, why can't you read the signs of the time? Why can't you understand where you are? And here we are, 2025 years, 26 years later, still arguing about the signs of the time. You might think I'm crazy. So here's what I know. My Bible says this, and I could find it here for you. Work while the sun shines. I'm looking out. I got my here in my multi-million dollar studio. I have a beautiful landscape view of my woods. I can see trees. And last I can see, he ain't come yet. Work while sun's coming up over. Michelle, sun's coming up today. So it's time to work. Work while the sun shines. Because the day cometh when no man can work. And you know what's going on? We, the church, can't wait for that day when no man can work. So they aren't doing anything now. I said to my wife, I'm sorry, it's always the same theme here. I said to my wife, as I was coming down the multi-million dollar escalator over there, I yelled over my shoulder, is the church trained, the local church trained to do anything about the culture that we're in? When you go to church on Sunday, does your pastor give you marching orders on what we need to do against the forces of darkness? What do we need to do about the onslaught of homosexuality and transgenderism and dishonest government and thievery? Does your pastor give you things? Here's what we need to do. And this week, here's what we're all going to go do. Or does he just sit around and say, boy, he's coming quickly. Look at the signs. No, pastor, work while the sun shines. Sunshine and work. Why? Because men's hearts are going to fail them for fear for the things that are coming upon the earth. I'm fired up this morning. Really, really fired up. I went yesterday. So stay with me. We'll give you some things that are good today. I spoke yesterday with Fritz Zimmerman and L.A. Marzulli. And we ended up, are you ready for this one? You know, I'm trying to find it. A mound here in Ohio to excavate. I got an email message, and from some guy. I'm not going any farther than okay. And he says, "Coach Dave, about 40 years ago, when we were building our church, they discovered bones in a mound where we were building the church." guy's still alive, still at the church. Down in the basement, we discovered bones, and we discovered bones. We quit digging. Out of the blue, this guy calls me. Hey, hang on. See, folks, look. I get it all the time from people say, why are you talking about the job? Damn it, it's one of the signs. It's one of the signs. Huh? So I got in my car and I drove up there. Yes, I didn't even tell him I was going to do it. I drove up yesterday to this church that was built literally on the top of a mound back in the 1940s or 50s, where they discovered bones in the basement. No. As they were digging the basement, they came into bones. And so, lo and behold, stay with me now. Come on, this is exciting to me. And so, lo and behold, he calls me. And you know what else was unbelievable? I talked to L.A. and Fritz Zimmerman yesterday twice. They're coming to town. And this guy has the key to the church. And he wants us to find out what's under that church. Huh? Oh, yeah. I drove out yesterday. I went up there and looked at it. Whoever built that church built it right on top of a Nephilim mound. So that's excitement number one, okay? That's going to happen. Now, here's excitement number two. This is how every once in a while the Lord gives you an amen. Yeah, that guy ever happened to you? Out of nowhere, an amen. Well, about 10 days ago, and let me show you this. I'm trying to encourage all of you. Hey, folks, get your traveling boots on. Get your traveling boots on. Spencer, pull up for me, number one there, Pastor Manning. Many of you know, I played a couple videos the last couple of weeks on Pastor James David Manning. I have hanging up in my office upstairs a plaque from his church where we went out there. I mean, it was a while ago. And in Harlem, New York, and we did some ministry with Pastor James David Manning. And I haven't heard from him in a while. And New York pastor raises eyebrows for fiery and crude sermon. I'm tired of the Democrat Party making pussies out of our men. Pastor Manning is concerned. In fact, they just elected a Muslim mayor. No, communist mayor. And he didn't want to do anything about it. So a funny thing happens, telling you a story, hang in there with me. If you miss this and you miss the move of God, you miss it. I hadn't spoken to Pastor Manning in 3 years, 4 years, I don't know. He went, some of you out there remember, he showed up at Gettysburg with us. Remember that, Craig? We went to Gettysburg. Pastor Manning came with us to Gettysburg. He's in New York and Harlem, in the heart of Harlem. Well, I called him about 6 or 7 days ago and said, hey, Pastor Manning, just left a message to the church. I didn't speak to him. Coach Dave here, we stand ready to do whatever it is that you need us to do. I can still round up some guys. Whatever you need us to do, Pastor, I want you to know we're available. Boom, hung it up. Didn't hear anything. And yesterday, I'm not making this up. I'm standing at the Nephilim Church yesterday, out in the middle of nowhere, and my phone rings. And who do you think's on the other end of the phone? Pastor Manning's wife. And we had to do small talk, and I'm thinking that she's responding to the email that I sent her, the phone call message I left 6-7 days ago, whatever it was. And so I started talking about that, and she stopped me. She says, Coach, you left us a message? I said, yeah, 6 days ago. She says, well, we've been out of town and we haven't checked any of our messages. Are you hearing me? She called me because the Lord put me on her heart, on Pastor Manning's heart, because he knows that we're doers and goers and all that kind of stuff. And so I had a great conversation with Pastor Manning's wife yesterday. I'm going to follow up on it today. He is calling for help to stop the infiltration of communism in New York City. Now, see, now that may not mean anything to you. If that is not, sorry, the steps of a righteous man being ordered by the Lord, I don't even know what to tell you. So I want you to know this. I committed to Pastor Manning, his wife, yesterday. I'm going to call him back today. We're going to New York. And I want some of you out there to buckle up because you're going to go with us too. And Pastor Manning is organizing in Harlem, very safe, a pushback against Mondami and communism and Islam in New York City. And I said, Pastor Manning, to his wife, I'd already left him. Does anybody find this unbelievable? Anybody find this confluence of things unbelievable? I called him. They didn't get the message. And then 6 days later, they call me. Say, Coach, we need your help. Coach, we need your help. So I'm giving some of you, I don't know when it's going to be. It's going to be soon, I think. I'm going to New York City. And I'm going to Harlem. And I'd like some of you to put that on your mark, your calendar. You're going to go with us. I know this, Psalm 37:23. I wrote a book. I get so frustrated. I'm just bleeding on you here a little bit today, okay? I get so frustrated because it's like, when the hell is the church going to engage? When is the church going to engage? What's happened to us? We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. There should be hundreds of churches in New York City pushing back against communism. Should be hundreds of them. But they can't. You know why? It's the end of days. What do I say to Michelle and I, to our double-digit grandchildren? Hey, Grampy ain't going to work a bomb. I'm sorry. I'm going to let communists and Muslims run America because Grampy's going to be raptured out of here. What the hell? What? Folks, that's the attitude of the local church. We're not going to get involved. It's political. So I got great encouragement. You see, you don't understand this. That was an absolute wink of God that Elizabeth Manning would call me and say, Pastor Manning needs your help. After I had called him and said, I'm willing to help. And they didn't get the message. Wow. You know what it is? Bigger than me. It's bigger than me. You understand that, folks? You understand that your life's bigger than you? Understand that? You understand that every action that you do affects others? And every action you don't do affects others? I want to show you something here real quickly, okay? America, excuse me, we're in the crucible. There's going to be such a, I'm not a Trump lover. I'm telling you this. God has raised up Donald Trump. Is it for good or bad? I don't know. But Trump is God's man. Ain't no doubt about it. And yeah, he's screwing up. Why? Because he's surrounded by Zionists. You think the world revolves around Israel. I'm not going to get into that. Here's six signs. Poem number one, six signs of God's judgment. I got about 4 hours worth of stuff to share with you today. Hang on. Let me back up real quick. Spencer, I'm sorry. Before you get that one, folks, are you ready for this one? Julie and others who've been run out by the flood. Pull up number 10 for me, Spencer. Something going on, folks. Something's really, really going on. Look at this. Yesterday in Indiana, they call it a 1,000-year flood in Indiana yesterday. There's 11 inches of rain, 15 inches of rain, 18.8 inches of rain. And as I was watching the radar yesterday, and that thing was heading towards us, I thought, Lord, don't let that hit us. Now, for those of you who don't understand, Spencer, if you could take your marker, I don't know if you can do this. Do you guys see Lima? See up the top where it says Lima? That's Ohio. That's Ohio. You see where it says Troy? That's Ohio. You see where it says Eaton? That's Ohio. You see where it says Richmond? That's the Ohio boundary. That's the boundary. Richmond, Indiana, and Ohio. That's the state line. Look, this stuff was moving towards Ohio. I was watching it on the radar, and it shifted or whatever, and it got Indiana instead. That would have been here. Julie was running. You out there, Julie? Julie was evacuated. They got 8.5 inches of rain. Other places all across Ohio are being act. Can we read the signs of the times or not? Do we understand that we're under judgment? And if we're under judgment, why? Why are we under judgment? Okay, hang on. Are you sitting down? Okay. Man, I'm 21 minutes into it. Yeah, Paul, it's a breadbasket. Flooding it, for sure. Julie, I know a lot of them that were rescued by boats. Rescued by boats. Rivers breaking their boundaries. Well, number six. Six signs of God's judgment. Now, friends, judgment doesn't mean end of the world. Vinny, that would be a boom. Thank you. Judgment does not mean end of the world. And Christians have been convinced that this is all leading to the end of days. And because it's leading to the end of days, Christians aren't doing anything. As the Muslims invade, the communists invade, the atheists invade, the transgenders invade, and Christians are sitting around, sitting in our churches, sucking our thumb, looking for the sky to... Somebody say amen, Coach. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. Huh? Did you guys see? I know you did. I'm going to show you again. They passed abortion until birth. Abortion until birth. In the United States of America, filled with Christian churches, abortion until birth. Okay, I'm going to show you this. I'm going to shut up for a minute. By the way, we're going to New York soon, probably. We're going to New York. Some people say, oh, I'm not going to go there. Yeah, damn it. You're at war. What do you mean you're not going to go? You're being drafted. Six signs that God is judging a nation. Scroll down, Spencer, for me, if you could. Scriptures talk about God's sovereignty. I'm not going to do all that, but I'm going to give you six signs that America's under judgment. Hang on. That does not mean the end of the day. Age doesn't mean that. Sorry to yell at you. Morality is absent. Anything goes. You can go ahead and put check marks on these as we go through these. Signs that God, not the end of days, but that America is under judgment. Those are not the same. Folks, on 9/11, 2001, supposed Muslims attacked New York City, and 25 years later, we have a Muslim mayor in New York. Morality is absent. Anything goes. God sets the standards of morality in the Old Testament. Each time God judged a nation, the people were void of conscience and morality. They are going, it is legal to murder babies in the womb up to the moment of birth, and the church doesn't burp. Morality is absent. Go to the next one. I'll put in the chat. The nation is divided. Signs that God is judging a nation. What if the judgment on America is going to be Muslims are going to rule over us? What if that would be God's judgment? We're sitting around waiting for the rapture. Another sign that God is judging the nation is division among the people. In fact, the dividing line is very easy to see. There are two distinct sides, and each side sees things from their own perspective. In essence, the people have tunnel vision. Wow, this is good. They will not even consider the possibility of coming to any sort of agreement. Could America's churches come to an agreement that abortion is murder? Could we come to that agreement? And if the churches came to the agreement that abortion was murder, not a woman's choice, we would end abortion. Number three, six signs God's judging us. There's a lack of resources. A nation under judgment will suffer a lack of resources while at the same time experiencing financial distress. God's judgment of Israel included a lack of resources. For behold, the Lord, Lord of the hosts, takes away from America and from Judah the stock and the store and the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water. It's judgment. Hey, these data centers, judgment.
Uh-oh.
It's judgment. I'll get you, Mark. Hang on. Hey, food shortages, oil shortages, water shortages. Lack of resources. Number four, the vulnerable and innocent become prey. Wow. We murder the innocent and the vulnerable. 10% of adults age 65 and older are experiencing elder abuse. In 2023, it was reported in the United States that 653,000 people experienced homelessness. In America, we're giving all the freaking money to Israel. Scroll down. There I said it. Huh? Wait, back up. Go back up. The innocent. In 2023, abortion was listed as the fourth leading cause of death in America. Fourth leading cause of death in America is abortion. Abortion is murder of babies who are created in God's image. Somebody say amen. I'm going to wait there. It's murder. It's legalized murder. Church looks the other way. Call it what you want to. It's murder.
Boom.
Yet there are millions of Americans who celebrate it every single day. Proverbs tells us that those who shed the innocent blood will lie in wait for their own blood. What does this mean? It means that someday soon, the United States is going to be judged harshly by a God for ongoing push to murder innocent unborn children in the celebration of such. The only way to avoid this judgment is nationwide repentance. Number five, judgment. Pastors and teachers preach a false message. That would be Isaiah 56. Israel's watchmen are blind. They're all dumb dogs loving to bark. The people followed the false prophets because of the feel-good message. And Jeremiah warned people not to do that. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, imminent here. Repent, the kingdom is coming. Christ came onto the earth. Sorry, folks. Christ came on the earth. The kingdom came. Christ's kingdom rules and reigns now if his people would simply enforce it. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is right here waiting if the church would wake up and quit jumping on the bandwagon that we're about out of here. It's about the end of days. So we're going to, well, what these pastors and teachers are doing is ultimately sending people directly onto the path of judgment that leads to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's the way through Christ. Sin separates us from God, and these false pastors and teachers want everyone to feel good. The message to negate the one true message of Jesus, which says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. First Peter says, but there are also false prophets among the people. Even as there will be false teachers among you who secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed by covetousness. They will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. If the truth would be told, when we go to church on Sunday morning, we ought to be weeping and gnashing our teeth. The altar ought to be filled with the lack of God's people The people should be repenting for their refusal to be salt and light. Instead, you go to church and it's a feel-good message about how good everything's going on while the girl beside you is killing her baby. Oh, that's okay, coach. That's right. Hey, I'm not trying to build a crowd. And then number six, it's all about me. It's all about me. These six things the Lord hates, seven are abomination: proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. And by the way, the person the hands are connected to, a heart that deviseth wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, and a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord amongst the brethren. Can you say 42,000 denomination? Black church, white church, gay church. Come on in, Mark Trump. We're in a job, babe.
More like a question.
Okay.
If New York's got a mayor that's Muslim, don't it have senators and congressmen and towns council people? I mean, we have people in D.C. that's allowing New York to have a Muslim mayor.
That's right.
The government set up the states to be individual. The government set them up that way so that they could have that. So the government had a say in whether or not they ran it in an American way.
Right.
You know, and it's not being an American way if it's Muslim. So how can the government oust one of the states' the decisions? How can it do it? I don't know. I don't know, Coach.
Well, it goes back to the lie, the indoctrination, uh-huh, of the separation between the church and state. You know, there's a movement right now to not allow Muslims to take a office, run for office. Did you know that?
Of course.
We're a Christian nation. We're a Christian nation. Do you understand that? We're a Christian nation. We're not a Muslim nation. There's freedom of religion. You can be a Muslim, but that doesn't give you the right to serve as president of the United States and change your name and call yourself something that you're not. And look what the hell's happened since that Muslim freak was president of the United States. Huh? Because we didn't want to believe it, right? We didn't want to believe it. Well, those who did believe it, well, just inside, end times coming.
I think you answered the question. Is the Muslims were in D.C. first?
Yep.
And they took over, and now it's okay for cities too. I think you answered the question. I looked at it that way, Coach.
Yep, that's right. So, they believe Muhammad's going to conquer the world. And can I tell you what? Christians think Muhammad's going to conquer it too, because they think we're going to be raptured out of here. So the Muslims can have everything. What about my grandbabies? What about my grandbabies? They're going to be living here with Sharia law? They got us to wear masks. How hard is it going to be to wear a veil? I'm like, what's wrong? Right? Point number two. Quickly. America's ruled by a uniparty that operates like a death cult. Uniparty. Two halves of the same whole. It's like last night we had an eclipse. It's like America's an eclipse. Half this, half that. But ultimately, America's ruled by a uniparty that operates as a death cult. Let me read some of this. I'm written by Leo Holman. The greatest destroyer of peace. Hang on, listen. Mother Teresa said the greatest destroyer of peace is abortion. Because if a mother can kill her own child, what is left for me to kill you? You to kill me. If we will not protect, I'm talking to the churches now, the churches will not protect the most innocent among us. That's a rejection of the gospel. And what do? We march every year to celebrate abortion. That's what we do. The churches go, and churches don't do. When's the last sermon you heard in your pulpit about abortion? And you don't think there's any kids in your church getting knocked up, killing their baby? Huh? Scroll on down. The Republican Party, which I've focused on over the last 8 months, only because they're the party in power, has membership roles filled with bloodthirsty warmongers. The Republican Party. They're killing innocent Christian children in the Middle East. You know that, don't you? Tell me you know that. The older Republicans, especially as a whole, will support any war that official Washington tells them needs to be fought. No questions asked. You see, the reason for the war doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to benefit America in any way. It doesn't even have to square with the facts on the ground, because they will believe whatever false narrative Washington and its media lapdogs put out against the foreign bogeyman. Before you jump on me, I know there are exceptions. Not all boomers are warmongers. I myself am part of the baby boomer generation, and I hate war. I believe war should be fought for national defense of homeland, and that's it. All else is corrupt scheming for the benefit of foreign interests and billionaires in the U.S. military-industrial security complex. Even the bombing of an elementary school in Israel, in which 165 young girls and their teachers were killed on the first day of the Iran war, March 1, did not move Christians. They have zero compassion or concerns about the women, children, and families killed by American and Israeli bombs. Their hearts and consciences have been seared, and they are driven by a hatred for people they see as an inconvenient obstacle to a particularly ruthless brand of political Zionism. Yet many of them call themselves Christians. Let's turn our focus now to the equally corrupt bloodlust of the Democrat liberal wing of the Washington Uniparty. These folks rarely speak out against the endless foreign wars either, but it gets worse. They also never met a baby they didn't think deserved to be a candidate for abortion. There was evidence. This is evidence on Monday when Massachusetts Governor Mara Healey signed a bill legalizing abortion up to birth. Your pastor preach on that Sunday? Huh? Show the video. It says, watch them smile, clap as the governor signs this murderous bill. Not a squeak from the church. Click on it here. Spencer, it says here. Legalizing the murder of babies. Bunch of whores. Sorry. They want to go out and have sex without consequences, and they don't care whether they murder a baby to do it. They don't care. Sex without consequences. In Christianity, the whole purpose of sex is procreation. That's the whole purpose of sex. If you take out, including birth control, sorry, if you take out the possibility of a human being created in the sex act, you're a hedonist. It's only about pleasure when you take out I'm sorry if I'm pissing some of you off. When you take out the possibility of God creating a new child in his image, every time you have relations with your spouse, should be your spouse only. If you take out the possibility of a new child being created, you are playing God. Somebody give me a boom. Vinny, I saw you gave me one. Nobody will talk like this. See, nobody will, right? Because we want to have fornication without consequences. That's all we want, including families. They've told us, they give us inflation, raise everything up so you can't afford a family, right?
Okay, man.
Huh? We how can any woman who's had a baby ever be in support of someone who wants to kill one? I don't get it. Other than we've made the American life, including the church, about the individual. God's got a wonderful plan for my life. Huh? God will forgive me. He knows my situation. Yes or no? Now, hang on. Those of you out there who've had abortion, and there are many, you were lied to. Some of you still haunted by it. Some women in particular, although men too, some women have emotional problems because of the fact they murdered their baby and they don't even realize the connection. They don't even realize it. And all you have to do, or all you need to do, what you must do, is go hit your knees and openly repent for murder. You murdered. Hey, men, if you paid for one, you murdered your child. Because men and women won't stand up and fight for children, they're now saying you can cut off a boy's dinger when he's 6 years old. That's how freaking far we've fallen. Don't hear this preached in your Presbyterian church or your feel-good church. Don't hear this stuff talked about. Why? Because the women will leave. The women will leave, and so will the men. Heaven forbid you challenge men to do anything. Oh, my God, no. No, love, love, love. Okay, I'm all over the place. All right. Betty, come on in. Hey, hang on. Hey, hang on. Somebody encourage me. Somebody say, keep going, Coach. Chad usually says that because some of you don't want to hear it. I want to say it.
Yeah, you got it right.
I want to say, going. I want to say, I don't care if you want to hear it or not. Go ahead, Betty.
I agree with you 100%. You know, when I was in the military, I'm sorry, I'm driving military, we were always told that hospitals and schools were not to be hit. Well, that was a sacrifice, and Americans became murderers for Israel to sacrifice children when they killed all those kids.
You can't say that.
Well, I'm going to say it. I don't care what they think. And secondly, Israel is giving Hamas $18 million a month to go and do the job of killing the Christians.
No, Betty, Betty, no, Betty. America's given money to Israel. Who's giving it to Hamas? Go ahead.
Yes, that is, you're correct. I'm sorry. That's what I meant to say. Yep, yes, yep. We're giving them the money to go give to Hamas so they can in turn kill us as they go about doing their business.
Folks,
so the Israeli soldiers and those Jewish Israeli government won't get a wound on them.
Those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. I don't know who they are, but the Lord warned us of those who say they are Jews. I don't know who they are.
Well,
I don't know who they're.
People better wake up because Israel is very demonic. And I tell you
the
what,
government.
I used to support them. I don't support them. I pray for them.
There goes half of our audience.
That's okay.
Because their church has taught them to worship Israel.
Well, then they don't know the truth, and they better read their Bible again.
That's
and
right.
Israel is Jacob, its people.
Come on in, Mark. Come on in, Mark. Well, there goes.
The nature of abortion in the past is you did it behind closed doors. You hid it. Families were scorned. They were blacklisted.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So who made it normal? Was it the abortionist? No.
No.
No. It was society. It was us not imposing peer pressure, not condemning it publicly. It's the society that had to change over all these decades to make it appear normal. So that young lady in the picture you showed could be convinced to go do it and live with herself. We have to make it possible for people to do sin by allowing it.
Amen.
We allow it, they go do it.
Hey, Mark, how about this one? How about this one, Mark? How about the women who show up to church with cleavage showing? Anybody preach against that?
Yeah, you remember going to hear the Watchman, and there was that dude's daughter that was a higher up in the faith and went all these places, and his daughter's on stage in a tube top.
Unbelievable.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do, bro. I do. Yeah.
He was pulling it up here and pulling it down there the whole time. It's like, come on, why did you wear that to a Christian conference?
And so men are sitting there lusting beside their wife, looking at her boobs and looking at her thighs and the whole time. They're not listening to the message. And is there a dress code at all in church anymore? Huh? Go in there and you see cleavage? You see
then abortion comes right behind
and then
it
abortion
for those
comes
girls.
Up. There you go, man. Judgment begins first in the house of God. Huh? Laura Ann, come on in.
Hey, good morning, Coach. You know, it goes also where this goes deeper is there's no respect for parents and moms and dads because they've been indoctrinated and paid ultra that you're not supposed to respect your parents. And this is in the government schools, which is Satan's playground.
That's because the parents have to both have to work to provide because the inflation is so freaking high. It's all a plan. Go ahead.
But look at all these single parents, right? And everybody's confused. And then on the abortion side of it, you know, you got these guys that are now the government pays for it. But like with my baby to be murdered, you know, cost $300, and it was in my body that you know my womb became a tomb, and I'm the one dealing with the after. Post-abortive.
Yeah, so. Let me back up a little bit. My body, my choice. My body, my choice. My body. Hey, help me out here. You have a child. People out there that have children. At what point did your child become their own person? At what point did that happen? Did that happen at 6 months old, at a year old, at 13? When do they become their own person? In the womb, it would seem to me, at the moment of creation. God said he formed you in the womb. Right? He knitted your inner parts together. The child just needs to grow. It just needs to grow. It's a baby in the womb. If I drive my car, I'm drunk driving, and I run a stoplight down here, and I kill a woman that's pregnant, I get charged with double murder. We're crazy. We're crazy. See, a baby can't be a person if you want it. If it's not, if you don't want it, well, it ain't a person. It ain't a person. We are so friggin' barbaric. Barbaric man, oh man. I'm going to go somewhere. Hang on. Hey, Spencer, I'm coming to you, Mel. Hang on. Bring up, I think this will fit in there. Where is it? Bring up number five. Don't play yet, but bring up number five. Come on in, Mel.
I think what part of our challenge is we're not properly identifying what abortion actually is, because if you look at the details of this, and I've looked at it extensively when they told me that I needed to abort my son because my life was at risk, and it was, but I chose not to. And they deliver many of those babies, and that's why they want to be able to do it up to birth. They think, oh, they destroyed the child. No, they don't.
No, they don't.
They deliver those babies and then they sacrifice them or they sell the parts. You may pay $300 to have an abortion, but they're going to sell that baby for thousands and tens of thousands of dollars if they part it out. And that's the truth that's not being told. They sanitize this into, oh, it's just some dead cells and blah,
yep,
blah, blah,
that's
blah.
That's right.
No, that is not what they are doing.
That's right.
To bring Amen. Their entities in, they have to have a sacrifice, and they are sacrificing these babies. So it's a double murder in a lot of ways. You aborted the child, but you thought you killed it. But they actually either sacrificed it, and they eat them. I mean, they cook them and eat them. That's the horror of that is not being told.
We don't want to believe that, do we? We do not want to believe that.
It's the truth. And it was hard to see it, knowing that I know people that had them when we were young. They whitewashed it all. It's no big deal.
They didn't know better, though, right? They didn't know better.
They didn't know better. And a lot of people now, here we are, 50-something years later or whatever, and people don't realize that's what they are doing.
That's
They're
it.
Not no. aborting them and throwing them away. They're delivering them and selling them.
There's a devil loose, folks. There's a devil loose. Mel, thanks for all that. Hey, Spencer, I got the wrong thing up there. That's not what I wanted. It's my fault. It's not your fault. Pull that thing down. That's not what I wanted. Hey, let me give you a little football here. Say, Coach, I don't like football. Okay. Let me give you a little bit of Woody Hayes. Woody, they hated Woody Hayes. A lot of people hated Woody. I loved Woody Hayes. Are you ready for this? Woody Hayes speaking to his players about apathy. Go ahead.
Boys, I don't want you on the football field if you're going
freeze
to show
it,
any signs.
Freeze it. Start it again. Because Woody, I patterned a lot of what I did after Woody. He educated. He didn't just teach football to the guys. When they had team meetings, he taught principles of life, not just football. Okay, so this is Woody before in front of the football team, doing a class on life. Go ahead again. I'm sorry, it's only a couple minutes long.
Boys, I don't want you on the football field if you're going to show any signs of apathy. Apathy. Right there. And avoid it like the plague. Avoid it like the plague. It's the damnedest thing in the world, and you'll run on these guys this fall on the campus. Yeah, why get up in the world? Why play football? Yeah, you work too hard. Why do that? Yeah, come on and have a joint with me. And hell, he'll sit there and look at his shoe for an hour. Yeah. He's thinking great thoughts. What the hell he's going to do? You think I'm kidding you?
I'm not kidding you, am I?
No, you're serious. And those people are apathetic as hell, and they're going nowhere. No. And there are a hell of a lot of people, and they take a lot of people with them, fellas. They take a lot of people with them. Because we all have a tendency to be lazy. And I don't know whether it's body chemistry or mind or whether it's a combination. It has to be a little bit of both. We all have a tendency to ease off at times. That's why you need good teachers and good coaches to push you a little bit. We all have to be pushed. The fact I'm a football coach, it's a competitive thing. I despise for people to beat us. That's why when I get good football players, I'm not going to let somebody else beat us. Because I'm cheating myself and I'm cheating my players if we don't get the best out of them. If I let you come here to college and flunk out of school, I'm cheating you. Because I'm older than you are. I know a little more about it than you do. And I know just going through this silly little book here helps enormously. If you only pick up one word today and learn to avoid that word like the plague, and you'll see him all over the campus. He'll be all over here. And he is never the guy that's done one damn thing to civilization.
Just to make crystal.
Apathy. What? If you were to sit down right now. Come on now. Somebody come on in here. Just me. I get tired of hearing me. Write down, if you would. Come on. I'm trying to coach you a little bit here. The things in your church that the pastor seems to be apathetic about. Does he care about transgenderism being taught to children? Does he care about the atheistic education that children are getting? Does he care about the overarching arm of government? Does he care about women being taught to kill their babies? Does he care? Folks, are they apathetic on those things? What do you think, Ray?
Exactly. Well, that was a good clip you just showed about apathy. That's why we have abortions, because
right.
The
not my business, none apathy. Of my business, right, Ray? Who am exactly. I to judge? None of my business.
You know what we need, Coach, is men of fire, full of the Holy Spirit, like a John Brokaw, yep. Or Jeremiah. He had the Word of God burning in him. He couldn't keep his mouth shut. He went out there He did something about it.
They hated him.
Time we did something about it. Huh?
Jesus said that you'll be hated of all men.
Amen.
Folks, that's the exact opposite gospel message we're hearing.
So kudos to you for getting in touch with Manning and putting something together there for New York.
Come on.
That's
go
it.
With
that's
me,
action.
Man. We're gonna make it happen again, okay? Hey, do me a quick favor. I just saw – pull up – you just had Howerton up there, didn't you? No. There. Uh-huh. Okay. Josh Howerton. This is a good guy. I can maybe sit under him. Go ahead and play this. Pastor. He's a pastor. Go ahead.
The church is not getting more political. Politics are getting more theological, and politics are getting more spiritual. When the government moved past things like building roads, issuing driver's licenses, and teaching math, to things like redefining marriage, erasing gender, reframing abortion as reproductive rights, and then using the government school system to indoctrinate everybody's kids into believing those things. Hey guys, the church didn't move. Politics did. You cannot read the Bible about Moses, Daniel, Esther, Nathan, Nehemiah, John the Baptist, and think that the church and pastors should avoid addressing government and governmental leaders. You just can't do it. If the church won't disciple people, the world will. So what's going to happen, check this out, is if godly leaders and godly pastors and godly voices all go silent or refuse to be clear on issues related to politics and government, then the only voices that are left are the godless ones. Politics can't save anybody from hell, but the book of James says that our everyday decisions either pull heaven down into our lives or pull hell up into our lives. So politics can't save anybody from hell, but they can save us from pulling hell up into our cities, states, and nations. What's happening right now is not the church.
Dave Allison, come on in, Dave.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Coach. Yep. Yeah, it goes back to the apathy. What you've been trying to point out to us all along is when we become aware of what we haven't done for the kingdom, you know, it'll either drive us into the game or drive us out of the game, one or the other. You know, we can't take the conviction, right? So I appreciate, Laura Ann, I want to tell you something. I appreciate your testimony. I appreciate you coming in here. I want you to know, and I believe the rest of you the same. Same with Betty. Betty told her horrific testimony. Yep. But I don't look at Laura Ann and I don't look at Betty any differently than I look at myself. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Don't ever let the enemy think you're anything less than that. Like the rest of us, we're all sinners saved by grace. And I appreciate that you've turned what the enemy meant for bad into good and your passion for the gospel. So kudos to you.
Thanks,
Dave. You decided, I'm going to poke the devil right in the eye. So don't ever let that condemning thought come into your mind that you've gone beyond what grace can do.
Thanks, and, Dave. You know what one of the big things is? Church folk hate me. That's the sad part. Church folk. Why? Because we're comfortable. I'm a coach. Listen, if we're not scoring touchdowns, somebody ain't doing the job. But see, we cloud it over or we hide it. We say, well, coach, it's just in times. Really? You really believe that? Do you understand that there's somebody in your school, some girl in her school, in your school somewhere, she might kill herself because she had an abortion. Do you know that kind of stuff happens? Do you have any obligation at all? Have any obligation to make sure that never happens to a young girl, to another child? Do you have any obligation? Is there any sense of right and wrong in church? In school anymore? Any sense of right and wrong other than who are you to judge? Don't judge. Don't bully. All that. Come on now, folks. We live in a secular world because why? Church has lost its savior. Church has lost its savior. Okay, I'm going to finish with this because pull up Pastor Manning real quick, folks. I want you to get ready to go, and if you want to do something here, this is Pastor Manning's. What he called me. That's not it. Doggone it. I thought I did. Well, scroll down there. He's raising Cain about Mandami. But he's got a voice. Play that real quick.
Sick. A woman can't raise children. You can't raise children with tits. You got to have balls. You got to have a man. And for a man to not take responsibility to raise his children or to be executed, you have a responsibility before God. And we don't want to hear that. Women's rights. No. We got the sickest, poorest, economically deficient people on the planet. The other thing is this, is that when that boy Mandami came out on the scene, this nigga is a Muslim. He is a jihadist, if you will, intifada, if you must, Hamas supporting anti-Jesus Muslim. And niggas are talking about he got a good program. I don't give a damn how good his program is. He's a Muslim and Jesus is Lord. And I'm voting for him and I ain't tell nobody else to vote for him. The hell's wrong with you? I'm tired of the Democrat Party making bitches out of our women and pussies out of our men. I'm tired of it. I've had enough of it. The man needs to stand up and be a man.
There you are. Outlaws is church. A-T-L-A-H. Folks, we're going to outlaw. I'll let you know when it's going to happen. We're going to outlaw. You be part of it, right? Huh? We're going to go into Harlem. We're going to have a black pastor welcome us into Harlem. You don't want to miss it. I'll keep you updated on it. Oh, Lord's doing something. See you tomorrow.